Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It's a minute past the hour. The stream is streaming. The packets are passing. The series of tubes appears to be unencumbered. And this is The Horn, live programming for the second day of December 2016, because we proved not to be particularly good at live programming for the first day of December 2016. Sorry about that. The stream server simply crashed last night, making it damn difficult to get a program out. Near impossible. So I punted at about 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and just, you know, hoped it would be better today. And it does appear to be better today. The sun will come out tomorrow. No, stop it. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. It is indeed the second day of December 2016 as we hustle 2016 toward the door. Don't you think you stuck around long enough? Yeah, time to be going, old fella. Right. It is also Friday on the Front Porch, which is quite cool. Friday on the Front Porch, of course, the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable that happens really nowhere else, where regular folks sit around and discuss the issues of the day. Mm-hmm. And if you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch, and you would like to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, then send a contact request to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, one word, and Sparky will then, and you need to say something like, you know, FOTFP or, yeah. Right? Just so Sparky will know, you know, you want to be part of the community. And then, voila, he'll show you the breadcrumb trail. And you can follow the breadcrumbs to the front porch, and then you'll be part of the conversation when we fire it up in about an hour or so. This is listener-supported conversation radio. No ads here. No buy gold now. No blindster blinds to be purchased online. No general steel buildings or lumber liquidator floors or any of those assholes who support the right wing hate media universe. No, none. It's just your determination to keep this process going. And with last night being the first day of December, we would have had, you know, Shirley's challenge that begins the first day of every month. But no, because the show fell apart. So when I'm carrying over Shirley's challenge to tonight, $50 of which has already been met. Thank you very kindly to Randy in PA, and thank you for kicking into the equipment fund too, Randy. It is much, much appreciated. So we've got $150 of Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge to go to finish that off and double your money, and $200 to raise for the ordinary evenings. So this evening, we need to raise $350. Okay, 10 at 35, 35 at 10, 1 at 350, Oh, dear. 2 at 175. 4 at 87.50. And after that, my head begins to hurt. Mm-hmm. So, if you would like to help keep the program on the air, keep it going, then just, click the contribute button at headonradionetwork.com, and then fill out the fields. If you'd like to become a monthly subscriber, and we really, really do appreciate our monthly subscribers, thanks going out this evening to... Yeah, just a minute. Thanks going out this evening to, in addition to Randy in PA, also going out to Grace and Darren and Elizabeth and Albert. Thank you one and all. And a reminder, courtesy of Joan in Talibandiana, there is an offer on the table for new subscribers. Between now and the 15th of the month, 13 days, every new subscriber gets their first month's subscription doubled, courtesy of Joan. Thank you, Joan. If you prefer to use the United States Postal Service, the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And, of course, drop me a note via email and let me know so I can tell Boss Man Wayne he can leave his spider-proof gloves in the truck. Okay? Okay. So that takes care of pretty much all the housekeeping. And just a moment, I think in terms of community is essential to any attempt at human civilization. There are no lone wolves out there. Even the concept of the lone wolf is a wolf that has been driven from its community and forced to live on its own without any of the benefits of belonging to the pack. Lone wolves quite often die rather quickly. Okay? Right. So, community is essential to the human species. And I got to thinking about that, particularly in terms of what's going on with the alleged big carrier deal in Talibandiana. Mm-hmm. It was ballyhooed by Herr Trump as saving 1,000 jobs. Only it didn't. It sent as many or more jobs to Mexico anyway. So some of the jobs will stay there in Talibandiana, and some of the carrier jobs will go to the new plant in Mexico. And we're supposed to feel really, really good about this because, you know, 1,000 or whatever people are going to have are going to keep their $22 an hour jobs. And I guess in the most pared down and stripped away sense, that's true as far as it goes. However, the whole deal was blue smoke and mirrors. Or in this case, perhaps orange smoke and mirrors. Because the way they kept it, the way they kept those jobs, is by handing $7 billion over 10 years to Carrier. $700 million a year in tax breaks that will have to be made up somewhere else. And who's going to make them up? Well, how about the $8.75 an hour worker at Burger thing? Or how about the minimum wage workers at Hellmart? How about people with good UAW jobs and in that industry in Talibandiana? How about the underpaid teacher in the failing schools of Talibandiana? They're the ones who are actually going to be paying. Maybe it wasn't a billion, maybe it was $7 million. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, $7 million. Still, $700,000 a year. Even Herr Trump wouldn't. No, well, I don't know. We got 4 years to find out. And more than that, what do you suppose it's like inside that Carrier plant now, as they sit around waiting to find out whose neck goes on the chopping block and whose necks do not? Because that's going to be real good for that community. Sorry you lost your job there, Fred. I kept mine. Shut up. Yeah, it's gonna be a real laugh riot there. And of course, United Technologies, which owns Carrier, played Herr Trump like a fiddle, and played Mike Pencil Neck Geek like a fiddle. Well, you know, we really need to cut some costs here, fellas. We're definitely going to move the plant to Mexico. Definitely moving it to Mexico. Daggummit. It's a shame. But you know, it's only business. I mean, it's a matter of the deal, right? Didn't you say that, Donnie, that it's the art of the deal? Well, we got a better deal in Mexico, Donnie. Okay. What if we give you $7 million? To keep half the jobs here until you sneak off in the middle of the night, maybe 10 years from now. How would that be? I don't know. You drive a mighty hard bargain there, Donnie. $7 million, huh? $7 million to ship half of our jobs to Mexico instead of all of them? And you're going to make minimum wage workers pay for those tax breaks? That's going to be real hard for us to accept. Give us the check. Write the check. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a little bit ugly, but I mean, they're proles, okay? I mean, they're less valuable, those working people, than the machinery that we're going to move to China, I mean, or Mexico anyway. So, well, it grieves us to take the money, Herr Trump. But take it. Take it. We certainly will. Tough, huh? Can you imagine what that town's going to be like? People who were fast friends are suddenly going to become enemies. Trump saved your job, but he put the wood to me. Yeah, how's that going to play out? Steve in New York writes in and says, I'll take just $70,000 not to leave the U.S. I'm much cheaper, and I have such a sunny disposition. Oh, I know. Absolutely. But that's where we are. And it's a pretty nasty place where we are. Because, of course, the economic populist can always win by pitting one worker against another worker. And it's working famously in Talibandiana. Just kind of felt like I needed to get that said. You gotta think that's going to be a mighty interesting time. And of course, Herr Trump, Benito Cheeto, the commander in Cheeto, soon to be. Well, he's on his what do we call it? Victory lap. He's on his victory lap around the country, telling people that. You know why it is that he says 2 to 3 million illegal votes were cast? Of course, because he's now behind Hillary Clinton by 2.5 million votes and still climbing. Which is pretty impressive for somebody who, say, didn't win the election. So now he's touring the country, whipping people into a white, and I do mean white, hot frenzy. He spoke in Cincinnati last night, and it was apparently quite the Clavern meeting. As CNN writes, anyone who thought that Trump would preview a new, soberer presidential version of himself just 50 days before he takes the oath of office was mistaken. The bottom line is, we won. Okay, it's a little difficult because you always have to make an anus out of your mouth. We won! CNN continues and reports, the ostensible purpose of the event was to stress a message of national unity after a fractious campaign to lay out a roadmap for Trump's presidency. But the president-elect showed that the heavy burdens of the office are about to settle on his shoulders, and the behavioral constraints that normally apply to a head of state are not going to cramp his, what Chicken Noodle News refers to as, quintessential, his quintessential political style. He lashed the dishonest media. The German for that, of course, is Lügenpresse, which I'm sure was being chanted there in Cincinnati. And then he went after Governor John Kasich, who still is refusing to support him. Mm-hmm. It was everything you would expect from someone that we call the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, wasn't it? His economically anxious followers were there, manifesting their economic anxiety by chanting, "Build that wall! Build that wall!" And then they manifested their economic anxiety by screaming, "Lock her up! Lock her up!" Mm-hmm. And of course, he's not going to. He's not going to build the wall, even though he has to. And he's not going to lock up Hillary Clinton because he doesn't have the power to. And then CNN writes this. Perhaps more than anything else, Trump was having fun, reveling in being back as the rhetorical general of his grassroots army, riling his foes and commanding the spotlight, surrounded by a worshipful crowd. Worshipful. Yeah, he's a religion now, I guess. Mm-hmm. He bragged about appointing Mad Dog Mattis as Secretary of Defense, claiming, "He's the closest thing we have to Patton, and it's about time." He's also had, in the meantime, a phone conversation with Philippine President Duterte, who is a vicious fascist in his own right, and has, yes, invited him to the White House. You know, fascist to fascist. He declared, "We're not going to be divided for long. I've always brought people together. I know you find that hard to believe. We did have a lot of fun fighting Hillary, didn't we?" And the crowd got economically anxious again and started chanting, "Lock her up, lock her up." And, you know, the economically anxious people don't care. I wonder how that economic anxiety is going to play out for 800 people working for Carrier in Huntington and the 1,000 or so who lose their jobs in Tallahassee. You suppose they'll punish Trump in 4 years for screwing him over? Or will it still be Obama's fault? Yeah, this is being billed as the thank you tour. Mm-hmm. He told them, and you know what? This may not be a lie. "Every single day, you will be the agents of change." I think they already have been. They've changed this country into a burgeoning fascist disaster. And of course, he continued by going after Muslims. Mm-hmm. "People are pouring in from regions of the Middle East. We have no idea who they are, where they come from, or what they're thinking, and we're going to stop that dead cold." Dead cold. Dead. So, I got an idea that I'd like to run past you. Since he's out there on his victory lap, spiking the ball, as it were, what can we do about it? I was having a conversation with our buddy Chris in Germany the other night, And I meant, and she mentioned, and I agreed, that it's almost like you want to go say, you know, just get started. Just go. Just do it. Enough fooling around. Let's get this nightmare underway, because the sooner the nightmare gets underway, the sooner maybe we begin to wake up, if it is possible for an America gone hopelessly into full-on fascism to wake up. And that got me to thinking, why not just do it now? The recount, as much as we might like for it to, is probably not going to do to change the outcome. Those 29 or so thousand Stein votes in place in Wisconsin were enough to get the job done. She's not going to make up that much ground in a recount. And those Stein votes are still going to be Stein votes. As elsewhere. Same with Pennsylvania, same with Michigan. So what does that, where does that leave us? Now, you're probably going to say, "Ah, oh, he's nuts." But it wouldn't be the first time, and nor the last, and that's okay. Here's the deal. I have reached the conclusion, and, you know, this is just a little community. It's not like this is going to get any traction or legs or anything. But I think it's a fine idea. I have reached the conclusion that Barack Obama and Joe Biden need to simultaneously resign. Just quit. Pack up, move out, get gone. Goodbye now, and thanks for all the fish. Why, Bob? I'll give it some thought. I mean, if Obama simply resigned, then the presidency would devolve onto Joe Biden. But if they both resign, guess who becomes president? Huh? Yeah. Paul Ryan? He's elevated immediately from the speakership to the presidency of the United States. And there's no way to force Barack Obama or Joe Biden to stay. They can quit if they want to. So that would immediately set off a bloody feeding frenzy of political Republican infighting to figure out who's going to replace Paul Ryan. One. And Paul Ryan, in turn, with 2 weeks as president of the United States, might decide that he kind of wanted to keep being president of the United States. Huh? Wouldn't that, yeah, right? Which in turn would infuriate the Trumpanzees. And set off a firestorm there. As Paul Ryan maybe made some backdoor inquiries and so forth to maybe get some electors to change their votes on December the 19th and confirm him as president of the United States. Again, this would drive the Trumpanzees out of their teeny tiny itsy bitsy little microscopic minds. The markets would go nuts. And along the way, suddenly, Republicans, who heretofore have never had a cross word to say about the Electoral College, would discover that the Electoral College is a deeply undemocratic institution capable of disenfranchising tens of millions of American voters. Huh? And then Paul Ryan would have to put together a transition team. And it might even slow down his attempts to piratize Medicare and Social Security. Mm-hmm. The more I think about it, the more I like it. The Trumpanzees claim that in their economic anxiety, they wanted to shake up the system. Well, if you want to shake up the system, baby. Oh, I like this idea a lot. A whole lot. And if it got really nasty, you know, Trump would have to sue Ryan, and Ryan would have to sue Trump. Think of it as creative chaos. I mean, I don't, one loves one's country. But when one's country has gone completely batshit crazy off the rails, sometimes the medicine required to heal the sickness is noxious. My God, the for-profit media, the precious little Anderson Cooper and George Snuffleupagus and Charlie Rose and Joe Scarborough, his head might explode on screen, which would be worth, which by itself would make the entire undertaking well worth it. So ponder it a little bit. Oh, by the way, take note. In addition to inviting fascist Philippine President Duterte to the White House, Herr Trump also reached across the Pacific and made another phone call. He spoke with the president of Taiwan, Tsai Ing-wen. She, in turn, congratulated Donald Trump. Why does this matter? Well, it matters because no American president has done so since 1979. When the U.S. severed diplomatic ties with Taiwan based upon its having, our having recognized the government of the People's Republic of China. Now, Benito Chito spent a big part of the campaign talking about how tough he was going to get on China. And this is not going to play well in Beijing. There may very well be a diplomatic dust-up, kerfuffle even. As a result. Maybe a trade war? Maybe a recalling of ambassadors? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the Trump team didn't even bother to tell the White House that it had done this until it had become a fait accompli. According to the New York Times, the potential fallout from the conversation is significant, according to an official inside the Obama administration. The Chinese government having bitterly protested after the U.S. sold weapons to Taiwan as part of an arms agreement. The paper goes on to describe his call with President Tsai a far bigger provocation. Watch this space. Things could get interesting in a sure enough hurry. Do you remember last week when I had the audio of racist Bannon talking with Milo Yiannopoulos on Breitbart Radio, in which Milo said half the Republican base is so-called alt-right and probably a lot more than that. In other words, neo-Nazi fascist. And I begged and pleaded. And I said, okay, so you don't believe me when I tell you that this country is a lot worse than you think it is, that there are a lot more fascists in this country than you think there are, that there are a lot more neo-Nazis in this country than you want to believe there are. If you don't believe me, please believe them when they tell you out of their own mouths. Well, guess what? Milo Yiannopoulos, at the invitation of the College Republicans of West Virginia University, my alma mater, invited Milo Yiannopoulos to come and speak there at WVU last night. And it was nasty. It was very nasty. Let's check in with let's just sample a little bit from the very beginning of the evening.
Not the first time I've had somebody up there today. Right. All right. There we go. Can you hear me?
Now understand, they're laughing, and these young Republicans, these college Republicans, are all excited. And all of a sudden their hatred for people who are gay goes away when it's a gay Nazi like Milo Yiannopoulos. That's what that was, a little joke. Not the first time I've had someone up there today. Ho! Right? Okay, just setting the scene.
Are you okay at the back now? It's no better, is it? Is that your fault?
No.
All right, I'll just wait. I mean, I've got all night. Stop it. So, there we go. Finally, I can hear the sound of my own voice. Right, wonderful. How are you? Living in quite a different America. What a wonderful place. Sorry I was late. You've heard of CPT. Or FPT. Faggy people time. Is even worse. So you're lucky you only got 20 minutes late, because normally it's about 45. No, they couldn't find me a little lectern, you know, and I thought, well, no, I like to lean, so I'm going to have to wander around. But that's all right. Thanks so much for having me. Okay, I'm going to do this. All right. Welcome to the Dangerous Faggot Tour. I, of course, am Milo Yiannopoulos, and this is Trump's America. Congratulate yourselves for that. This is my first show after the election. Daddy's been elected. Hillary's been hiking in the woods. In those totally spontaneous and in no way absolutely whatsoever completely fucking staged photo ops. Do you notice how they kind of like, they make it to the Daily Beast within about 11 minutes. Here's Hillary hiking, because of course she hikes. Here's Hillary in Whole Foods, because of course she does her own food shopping. She hasn't been in a fucking supermarket for 20 years. that. Ridiculous, ridiculous. If rumors are to be believed, I am a candidate for Trump's administration. Secretary of good looks, perfect hair, and lovely skin. It's a new cabinet. It's...
Oh, isn't he adorable? Yes, he's positively darling. So, meanwhile, they published the transcript of everything he said, and I will not subject you to the whole hour and 25 minutes. I just won't. As Angry points out, and Milo's gay. He would have been thrown in a concentration camp like every other open homosexual in Germany or Italy or Portugal or pick a fascist state. They're a gaggle of fucking dangerous clowns. Fuckers like him think they're living on the edge. That's about the size of it. At one point he said, West Virginia was central to Trump capturing blue-collar Democrat voters, the ordinary men and women the Democrats have turned away from. His picture in a coal miner's helmet was an amazing moment. If you can't recognize how awesome that picture is, you probably contributed to Jill Stein's recount effort. And then he brought up the Kellogg problem. Are you aware of the Kellogg problem? The Kellogg problem is this. For some time, Kellogg's, not Kellogg Burn and Loot, but Kellogg's, the people who make cereal, advertised at Breitbart. But when it became obvious that Breitbart is merely a media front organization for full-on fascism, Kellogg pulled its advertising. And now Breitbart is trying to leverage its readers, if what a person who goes to Breitbart can be called reading, to boycott Kellogg's. Of course, these stupid bastards don't realize that there are more people who voted for Hillary than voted for, and if the people who voted for Hillary, or even, you know, Jill Stein, make a point to purchase Kellogg's products, and the people who go to a website that rhymes with light and fart don't, then it is a net gain for Kellogg's. Jesus, it's boycott Hamilton all over again. So now we're going to boycott Kellogg's. So he got pissy about it, and he said, and you probably also eat Kellogg's products. I actually have some right here. They just aren't very good, are they? I mean, who even eats cereal? Fat people, I guess. After a decade of liberal boycotts, tantrums, and social media storms, it's time for conservatives to have some fun. It started with Gamergate, you know, where they harassed women for being women. And continues with Dump Kellogg's, and won't end anytime soon. Congrats, progressives. This one is on you, too. And he continues, he said, and I've got some other calling out to do, and not just of faggy breakfast cereal manufacturers. Early this week, I received a string of messages from student organizers at Iowa State University and Minnesota State University. They all said the same thing, that their administrators were hitting them with impossible security fee hikes just a few days before the event. This has been done before. It's the latest slippery tactic of university administrators. They're too afraid to ban me outright, so they give poor student organizers impossible security fees at the last minute without any time to raise the funds. Well, maybe that's because this miserable piece of shit is a lightning rod for violence, because he's a fascist, and fascists tend to be violent. But they didn't do that at West Virginia University. Oh, no. They let him speak. And this is probably fodder for a continuing conversation about the difference between hate speech and free speech. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can...
The progressives have been doing it to conservatives for 30 years or more, so I intend to do that in both of their cases.
That's the boycott stuff. Here's... Okay. Then he's going to ingratiate himself to the audience by telling them how star-spangled awesome West Virginia is.
He, by the way, was taking a class on micro...
Wait a minute.
...to fuck with you. And they wait till the last minute to tell people. At least they replied, it's been 2 days. We haven't heard anything from Minnesota yet, despite multiple attempts from my team to reach them. Both of these universities, by the way, are funded by the taxpayer. They're funded by you guys, or at least your parents, and the rest of America. And they are denying students their rights and their wishes. And it's got to stop. And I think the only appropriate response to this is ritual public humiliation of the kind the progressives have been doing to conservatives for 30 years or more. So I intend...
Okay, so... that would be kind of interesting. Ritual public humiliation. Anybody want to help me with that? I'm trying to think about ritual public humiliation. I mean, I remember in the aftermath of September 11th, 2001, when a professor was, a progressive professor, was run off campus and had his life threatened for suggesting that September 11th, 2001 had a little something to do with something called blowback. And he said the chickens are coming home to roost. And that cost him his job and very nearly his life. But no, that's not ritual public humiliation of a conservative. Now, is it? I'm sure Milo has some examples. Yeah, angry, you're absolutely right. The poor white victim, Moldy Canard, again.
And to do that in both of their cases. This isn't just about technicalities, after all, is it? It's about principle. It's about three colleges, you know, because there's this... What's the other one? The other one. There's another one. Maryland is a long time ago. No, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. I'm just thinking, this week. There's another one this week, anyway.
Get off the cross, Milo. We need the wood.
It's not just about the technicalities, the legalities. It's probably illegal for them to be doing this. But it is also about the principle. Denying 50% of their student body their right to listen to the speakers they want, express the opinions that they want. Other colleges like the University of Chicago have had a much more sensible approach to this. University of Chicago has responded to the age of safe spaces by telling students, don't come here if you want trigger warnings and nannying. Come here if you want to learn, because this is a place of educational inquiry, which is very encouraging.
Right, and see, you just can't learn unless you invite somebody to come and speak who throws around hate words like beads at Mardi Gras. I mean, otherwise, you know, you're not learning. See, what Milo means by learning is fascist indoctrination. Anyway, we're getting there. Stand by.
There seems to be a sort of split between lunatic social justice hellholes and more sensible schools that understand that free expression is the cornerstone of a good education. So if you have some time on your hands, why don't you if you have some time on your hands later, why don't you consider writing to one of these guys, Richard Davenport, the president of the University of Minnesota, or Stephen Leith, the president of the University of Iowa. I'm sure they'd love to hear from you if you're at home.
Interestingly, earlier on he said Minnesota State University and Iowa State University, which I know Iowa State University is an actual institution. I don't know if Minnesota State University is. I'll bet it is. But, see, he's so concerned that he can't even be bothered to get the name of the institutions right. And the poor little fascists, well, they're going to be all confused.
I'm in front of a computer watching this. You can just open another tab and send them a nice, politely worded letter about their approach to free speech. Anyway, I've done some research. It turns out that West Virginia University might be the most triggering school in all of America. Do you know why? Well, locals call this state West by God Virginia. Think of how that offends these atheist progressives. Think about the feminists triggered by that. The Muslims triggered by that. You see that guy, Iowa State guy? It just seems to happen every, like, 2 weeks after I visit these colleges. No, he was a social justice warrior, you know that? This guy that sort of ran people. He said, August, he was giving an interview to student media, and he was like, oh, you know, I'm tired of, you know, people making assumptions about me because I'm Muslim. 3 months later, he was driving his car into 9 people. He, by the way, was taking a class on microaggressions. Are they having fun outside? Are they here for us?
Those were the protesters.
Hello. Oh, they're watching outside. Hello. I wish I could let you in. He was taking a class on microaggressions. And this is part of the left strategy, of course, to sort of to legitimize violence as an appropriate response to ideas. And this, as you have seen in the aftermath of Trump's election, is exactly what the left wants to do. It wants to muddy the waters between speech and action so that their...
No, there's no muddying going on. We'd kind of like to draw clear distinctions between advocacy of violence and hatred and free speech, because they are not the same thing. We've discussed in the past, a long legal history of incitement speech not being protected. You know, fire in a crowded theater, that thing. It's just that we've decided we're not interested in enforcing it anymore, and because, you know, we're scared of them, and they might call us liberals or progressives or something, if it, or be mean to us if we talk about how god-awful hateful these pricks are. Note coming in from Steve in New York. Steve, who's gay, so, you know, he's speaking for all gay people right now. Thank you, Steve. Steve says, the guy at WVU, confirming that the guy is gay. Yes, he is. If so, because remember, he calls himself he calls this the Dangerous Faggot Tour. Edgy, right? So Steve says, how about this? Race traitors are Uncle Tom's. LGBTQ traitors are Uncle Mary's. Wait a minute. Yeah, but real solid cowbell for that, Uncle Mary's. Gerald pointing out, yeah, because every time we, the natives of West Virginia, utter the name of the state, we insert "by God" between West and Virginia. Fuck this guy, he's an idiot. And by the way, I know a lot of atheists, and not a one of them gets upset when somebody says West by God, Virginia. Nope, me neither. I know Christians that get upset when you say West by God, Virginia, because you're taking the Lord's name in vain. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it can get worse. Ron in the far frozen north reminds me, they might even call you Canadian. The horror, you know, if we try to point out hate speech. Steve did some quick research. Minnesota State doesn't exist. It was in a sitcom in the 1990s. Oh, Coach, of course, yeah. What were they? The Minnesota State... Leaping Loons or something. Yeah. Oh, okay. We've got a little bit of a controversy going now. GK says, Minnesota State used to go by Mankato State. This guy, is he one of those confused log cabin re-pig lickings? No, he's probably an illegal immigrant. I mean, that ain't no Boston accent. So he, like Nigel Farage, has come over here to take a job that could have been just as well done by some other domestic, native-born hate monger. Clarence with a question. Hey, Bob, do you know anything about the gaming community using the internet to communicate and help the rise of Trump? I heard the gamers talked about Trump and his plans, and they encouraged each other to support him. Well, Gamergate was a very nasty little right-wing phenomenon. There's no doubt about that. Ron in Raleigh, subject line, simply, damn. This is one annoying, this is one annoying little Nelly faggot, pardon my language. Why is it that we get these Brit assholes? Why can't they stay in old Blighty and leave us the fuck alone? Cause it's, because money. There's a lot of little millennial fascists out there who are eager to give him their money. Or, you know, in the case of this college event, mom and dad's money. So I'm just going to play a little bit more of this because I want to get to the part that's caused the problem.
Violence comes to be seen as an appropriate response to your ideas, to your principles, to your beliefs. Your mascot here is the Mountaineers, which is a wonderfully patriarchal symbol. It's one of those jobs feminists don't moan about gender equality in. It's partly because
He is, of course, a dumbass piece of shit, because among other things, the outgoing West Virginia Secretary of State, Natalie Tennant, was the first woman to be the official WVU Mountaineer. And of course, it caused no small amount of Sturm und Drang and consternation and kerfuffleizing. Because we don't want no mountain deer. Give us back our Mountaineer. I remember it. And the alternate Mountaineer right now is a woman. And she shows up at events when the main Mountaineer is busy with a football game or a basketball game or something like that. Right? Right. Steve, speaking for the gays again, Steve says, I'm confirming he is a Nelly faggot. This could get ugly. Steve in Vermont says, great show. Trump is not Hitler, but Trump admires Benito Mussolini and has channeled many of Mussolini's affectations. Trump's Twitter tweets create a fog, a distraction from what's really going on. Mussolini was a buffoon, and his big mistake was making friends with Hitler. But we must regard Trump as a possible Hitler because of his ethnic cleansing proposals and indifference to good governance and indifference to the very people who voted for him. Yeah. That would be, you know, the people who are losing their jobs in Huntington, Indiana, and Fort Wayne, and because Mike Pence paid United Technologies / Carrier $7 million. And so I'm still just blown away by that. That's a pretty neat trick. A corporation gets $7 million in welfare payments in exchange for firing 1,000 people. What a racket. Steve continues. Steve in Vermont. The signs are all there, but to predict outcomes based on historical analysis alone is not enough. To quote critic Walter Benjamin, referring to art as the parasitic subservience to ritual, we can discern certain rituals at work in the body politic now as parasitical. It's not the single mom on welfare. It's not the culturally, economically dispossessed, their futures linked to centuries of genocide, slavery, and murder. It's not people on Social Security and Medicare. It's not the displaced or those seeking a safe haven. And it's not the earth itself that is parasitical. It's the fascist mind that is parasitical, feeding off the manufactured fears and prejudices of resentful, overlooked people. When do these perceived and received resentments become justification enough to wish harm to others? Hillary's deplorables comment made me cringe. Deplorable maybe, but you don't say it. You try to understand what people are going through and why they believe what they believe, even if it's unbelievable. But if you're not a racist, but you vote for a racist, does that make you a racist? The truth is, the answer is probably yes. That's a tough one to get people to understand, Steve. And if you voted for Trump, one may assume there's a contempt or resentment that has been learned toward either women, minorities, or some other group. The Trump anti-establishment tour of 2016 is the culmination of over 30 years of right-wing hate rhetoric disassembling reality itself. The result has been ignorance and a form of dependency. Lies by right-wing media and politicians taught the American people to hate Hillary Clinton. Propaganda works. The real scandal in 2016 was selecting her as the standard bearer with all the baggage real and imagined during a time crying out for fundamental change, and I couldn't agree more. We have, Steve continues, as a nation been exposed to eliminationist rhetoric for our entire history, right up to and including Fox News. Progress for any group that has been dispossessed is always challenged hatefully and often violently. What's acceptable in politics and in our cultural models has shifted, and in America today there are willing volunteers ready to do whatever is necessary to further the cause. I would resist the term alt-right or even white nationalism, which Steve Bannon espouses. The coalescing of fringe right-wing eliminationist groups can be safely stored under the banner of what it is, white supremacy. In the American writer Daniel Goldhagen's book, Hitler's Willing Executioners, Ordinary Germans and the Holocaust, he writes about a building up of a virulent hatred for Jews and other minorities over centuries, culminating in a numbing indifference to the genocide that was taking place all around them. In white supremacist, anti-Semitic, anti-environment, racist, anti-woman, gun fetishizing, insecure, fearful, authoritarian, Trumpland America 2017, we will find out what eliminationist rhetoric has done to the American psyche and soul. Authoritarians not only like to push people around, they see their role as becoming subservient to strongman types like Trump. The homoerotic element is part of the fascist mindset in displays of hypermasculinity and patriarchy. The mood feels impulsive, inchoate, chaotic, like Trump. Benjamin also wrote, "Capitalism is a purely cultic religion, perhaps the most extreme that ever existed. Fascists are cultists beyond anything else. Trump and his ardent followers are a cult. The anti-government movement is a cult. The guns everywhere movement is a cult. The first definition of a cult is a system of veneration and devotion toward a particular figure or object, like Trump and guns. There later comes a period of attempted normalization in which there's a downplay of racist incendiary rhetoric. A common refrain from the media is, let's wait and see what he does, or this is just another swing of the pendulum. In this way, the media become the gateway for normalization. The truth is, the normalizers are afraid, too. Yeah. They're terrified. Because whether it's George Snuffleupagus or Anderson Vanderbilt Cooper, or any of the normalizers there in the broadcast TV for-profit media, they know that with a single tweet, Donald Trump can have their lives. It's that serious. And so, you know, they're not particularly brave. Oh, sure, Anderson Vanderbilt Cooper can take issue with Senator Elizabeth Warren for referring to racist Bannon as a white supremacist. But is he going to push back on Trump? Well, don't you remember the pageant that he helped host? Yeah, how'd that work out? But anyway, back to Milo for just a minute, and then we'll be getting the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable started in short order. A reminder, we're trying to raise $350 this evening. We've got $150 to go to meet Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge, and then $200 to go for this evening's fundraising. And I regret to note that we are at zero. That is not a great way to end the week. So, it's there. Anyway, back to Milo. Milo explaining West Virginia to West Virginians. I guess it's Milo splaining, isn't it?
Tins are so cold and they don't have cigarette breaks and climbing harnesses make your ass look fat. The pay is terrible. There are no soft carpets or central heating. You don't hear very much from feminists about the pay gap or the gender imbalances in mountaineering. That's just the start.
Dipshit thinks the West Virginia Mountaineers are rock climbing hipsters. The climbing harness? He didn't even care enough about where he was showing up to actually find out that the mountaineer of the West Virginia Mountaineers is more in the way of a frontiers person, a frontiersman, a mountain man, bearded, gun, buckskin. Nah, why would he want to do that? Right, right. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, let us let's get back to climbing harnesses, right?
You have a mascot that fires a rifle during football games. It was almost designed to piss off the left. It's wonderful. Wonderful. Now,
clap, monkeys.
Of course, the source.
He'd be equally happy if you would just stand up and yell Sieg Heil. Just saying. Heil Christmas, y'all.
The people that this annoys are the sorts of people who insist that every, you know, all the gun crime in America is committed by straight white males, even the stuff in Chicago. It's all straight white males. It's all the fault of toxic patriarchal masculinity and America's gun culture. Give me a fucking break. There is one thing about this college, however, that I've got to tell you I'm
comes.
Not so fond of. And his name... his name...
He says his name, and then he puts up the photograph of a professor with the words, fat faggot, superimposed on the photograph, and his little Milo logo at the bottom. Fat faggot. He's a professor. Oh, listen to the little fascist laugh. Ha, 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 ha.
I think my slides guy got a bit carried away. Just a guess. His name is Daniel Brewster. Daniel, and I understand he has a bit of a reputation on campus. I understand that he does. Now, Professor Brewster teaches sociology, which comes just a little bit above gender studies in my burger-flipping majors ranking. Not very far above. Anything ending in studies is guaranteed to be a pile of fucking horse shit. And after that list, you've got sociology. I hear he's fond of bullying conservative students. Has anyone been in a class with this guy? You have. What's the worst thing he's done to you? Has anyone got a horror story? Yeah, what has he done to you?
Oh, he made me try to think!
If you don't agree with my opinions, you're going to get an F.
Yeah, he said if you're a Republican, you're going to get an F. I guarantee you that kid is lying. By the way, another note coming from Steve in New York. Uncle Mary Milo. You know what breaks my heart? He's showing unbelievable contempt for hillbillies, and I don't even think many hillbillies get that. Just like Trump. Ta-da! Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's what gays look like, I don't fucking like them either. Well... Professor Hamburger is not, I'm pleased to tell you, does not represent the totality of homosexuals. There are far more attractive and intelligent, entertaining gays around. You just have to look a little harder, perhaps invite them to speak. What a cunt.
They clapped when he said cunt. They clapped and they laughed because that's so... politically incorrect. Oh, just say it again, Milo. Gerald points out, the college Republicans deserve the fleecing they got when they paid this puke to speak. I hope he got paid a lot, too. I'm sure he doesn't do it for free. Nope. So there you have it. He's Milo is so bold and so brave that he went after a guy who wasn't in the room. And that's tough. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's done tonight. Do you know? Yeah. You know, right. This guy. Exactly. This guy.
And they put the photograph with Fat Faggot back up.
Guys put on some fucking awful LGBTQRIAA asterisk ampersand sword sign event across campus, you know, one of those overblown therapy sessions, and has announced that if you show up to that instead of this, you'll get extra credit. We're ex-bribing students with better grades not to show up to listen to to conservative opinions because he doesn't like this.
Yeah, because see, those aren't conservative opinions. Those are fascist opinions. And he has a right to offer extra credit for actually learning as opposed to having right-wing ideological fascist puke thrown at you. Well, this set off a bit of a firestorm in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Among other things, let's see here. Among other things, the West Virginia Democratic Party, moribund though it is, under the stern leadership of Belinda Biafori, issued a statement. Today we learned of the disturbing and hateful remarks made about WVU Professor Daniel Brewster by Milo Yiannopoulos, senior editor for Breitbart News. Brewster has been a strong advocate for the rights of the LGBT community, minorities, and women in all West Virginians. The disgusting and disturbing attack on him is the exact hate that is getting closer to home, and we will not allow such hate to smother our loving communities. West Virginia is better than that. We're a state that is inclusive and not divisive, and we will not condone any such action, and we ask that the WVGOP do the same. There's a stark difference between communicating differing views with one another and publicly shaming, attacking, and putting fear in our fellow West Virginians. I'm proud of the WVU Young Democrats and all of the students at WVU for their encouraging words and support for Daniel Brewster during this time and for always fighting for what is right. We here at the West Virginia Democratic Party thank Daniel Brewster for his continued support and his fight for the LGBT community and minorities in West Virginia. And then there's E. Gordon Gee. He was president of WVU when I got my little bachelor's degree, and then he took off for the University of Colorado, and then he presidented for a while at The Ohio State University. All the while sitting on the board of and maintaining a financial interest in, mountaintop removal, Massey, Alpha. And then he came back to WVU to finish out his career. And he issued a statement after what Milo Yiannopoulos said. In essence, he said, "Gosh, we've just got to do this. We can't shut them down. Oh heavens to Murgatroyd, no." As president of West Virginia University, I will always support the decision to bring a speaker to campus and our community, no matter how controversial. Or fascist. I mean, let's just add fascist to that. No matter how much of a fascist. Under that rubric, E. Gordon Gee would welcome the president of the American Nazi Party. See, maybe I'm funny this way, but I don't see Nazis and fascists as having anything at all beneficial to bring to the conversational table. Because they're fascists. What value was in the speech that you heard from Milo Yiannopoulos? If your answer is none, you got the right answer. But WVU President E. Gordon Gee welcomes Milo Yiannopoulos. We never want to censor a person's right to free speech. Even if he stands up there and somebody winds up getting beaten after that Klan rally. Oh, but his right to free speech is more important than some vulnerable person getting the shit kicked out of him. It is through listening to people who think differently from others that we learn about the world and discover who we really are. Well, Gord, if who we really are is who that guy really is, we're fucked. And I believe that is one of the most valuable experiences one can have on a college campus. However, that does not mean I, as president, lose my First Amendment right to speak up and condemn what is presented. I will never support the tactics of any speaker who brings unsubstantiated and false attacks against a member of our Mountaineer family. So, in other words, sure, he's a fascist, but we welcome fascists. Because we can learn from fascists. Right? Mm-hmm. The college Republicans would not answer a phone call from the Gazette. And then the Gazette contacted them through Twitter, and they asked that questions be sent via email. And then when they finally sent an email, the college Republicans said they wanted to bring Milo to campus because they'd worked hard during the presidential campaign to elect a conservative icon, and they viewed the event as a huge success. I don't know. Maybe they stood in Sieg Heil after all. Right. In the rest of the marks, he called. He used that word that begins with C to describe women, as well as using it in regard to Professor Brewster. And he said, if you call out racism and sexism, you're targeting political preferences, thereby unwittingly, and I do mean unwittingly, admitting that Republicans, teabaggers, birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, and booger eaters, Trumpansies, are racist and sexist. The college Republican said, just because someone doesn't like what someone says doesn't make it hate speech, but it is free speech. Many in the organization agreed with most of what he said, while others did not. We thought the event was great and would do it again. On the other hand, the person emailing the response refused to give their name, saying they had been targeted enough. So they're just chock-a-block, plumb full of principles, but not enough to get behind it with their own identity. That's a good point, Gerald. Gerald says, you know, the Republicans are always claiming the colleges and universities are so liberal. Why don't those Republicans just stay out of college? Gerald says, I met Gee a few times. He seemed like a nice guy. Of course, the conversation wasn't more than a couple of paragraphs or over 4 or 6 weeks. No, he's a nice guy. He's genial. He wears a bow tie. And he's mild-mannered. But he also sat on the board of directors of Massey. I don't know if he got his board seat on when Massey bought, no, it was bought by Alpha. But there you have it, in a microcosm, hate must be normalized in Trump-merca. The greatest country in the history of the world, on earth, in the universe, now, today, forever, amen, under God, COD. Right. And it's about 20 minutes past the hour. Thank you very kindly to Jason. And thank you very kindly to Sharon. We now have only $130 to go in Shirley's challenge and $330 to go in fundraising for the evening. Thank you very, very kindly for getting us started. Finally, a note from Steve in New York. It is this kind of cowardly hate monger, little fucking faggot, sorry to be so blunt, but my blood is beginning to boil, who incites and taunts people and then cries violence and free speech when someone punches him in the face. Bob, were I there, I'd have no problem walking up to him, making out with him, and then punching him straight in the mouth and gut. Interesting combination, Steve. Subject line, it's here too, coming from GK. Bob, the second day after the election, a co-worker and her parents were accosted by a group of T-rumpers. Riffy and her parents were subjected to a rash of viral abuse. She was so distraught she was not able to finish her shift when she showed up for work. Yes, they are of Indian, as in India, descent. The open showing of the fascist bullshit reached me one day in a record shop. The owner and another customer were talking T-Rump bullshit, exit stage left. I went. Nothing to be gained. There's nothing. The only thing of value that the Trumpansies and the fascists can afford you is proving to you how damn fascist they are. And after they tell you, do you need to be told twice? Well, some on our side apparently do. Kumbaya, my lord. Right. Subject line, Civil War II blues. Steve writes, such big questions. Who in the family will be taking the day-to-day reins of this vapid tycoon's vast empire? The man is born to and is naturally fond of nepotism. And what about the likes of a first lady who seems to wince at the very thought of being anywhere near the White House as near the common people? Well, why, after all, Manhattan, D.C., no contest. I just adore a penthouse view. Darling, I love you, but give me Fifth Avenue. Yeah, da-da-da-da-da, bat-dat. New York is where I'd rather be, darling. Steve and I are on the same wavelength here. And Trump ain't to be bothered with the place either. Doesn't really appear to want the job. Look at the sort of rogues gallery of a team he's putting together. Straight out of the Wall Street mob-connected playbook. Remember, you got a Vegas man here. Is he going to take his salary? Peanuts. It's good publicity, though. For all those working stiffs he's dumping right in front of their trailers and trash. Because they're low-class, low-wage scum, far as he's concerned. Far as he's capable. He told them so. What do you got to lose? Indeed. But what gets me, Steve says, is the great bloated circus of the world stage. Kings, queens, peers and princes, soldiers, tinkers, sailors, spies. They're all sidling up to his fat ass and renouncing their many gods and coming out of their swoons and bouts of disbelief, only to take their fanciful bows, drop to bended knee, whereof they commence to plant wet, sticky, fragrant kisses dead upon his stinking ass. The court is the court, hell or high water. It's like something out of a Dylan ballad, so I guess that man deserves the Nobel after all. Mitt Romney, a cad who acted like a man on the verge of buying a can of gasoline and throwing a match in Trump's direction. As soon as the boss took him to a frog leg dinner. Well, let's just say that Mitt came out with a whorehouse shade of red lipstick that had to look awfully pretty on the big guy's left butt cheek. And doesn't he have a piece of the pipeline till it breaks anyway? Yes, he does, between $500,000 and $1 million invested in Energy Transfer Partners. Sure he does. Maybe the creepy-looking son will look after that for him. We do, I'm afraid, deserve most of it. It is this bad. And the whole rotting world of power seems to be loving it. P.S. Bet your ass He isn't going to give up the top-notch paid by the white trash free health care. Uh-uh. Regards, Steve in China. Thank you, Steve. I have filibobstered long enough. It is time to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you, Charlene, for jumping in. We have only $100 now to go in Shirley's challenge and $300 to go in fundraising to finish the week. Or, well, no, not to finish, but to finish the first 2 days of December. How's about that? Yeah, that works for me. So, if you want to jump into the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, as I've told you before, send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, one word, and Sparky will fire up the breadcrumb generator and show you how to get there. Okay? Yeah. All righty then. We'll take a wee tiny little break. And hopefully come back and begin the conversation. Remember, the stress line is there for people who can't use Skype, 304-663-4676. And we'll get it all going here in a second. Things are moving. Kind of cold here in the studio. Maybe it's slowing. Maybe it's slowing the machines down. I don't know. As Randy in PA points out, Anderson Cooper will slink back into the CIA from whence he supposedly came. Anybody surprised? No. And, of course, you know, we're having problems. With, you know, getting the music going. There we go. Good, good, good. All right. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Oh, for God's sakes, don't do that. Mm-hmm. We are at the exact halfway point of the program for this Friday on the front porch. For this, the second day of December 2016. The horn is a home of the resistance, a no collaboration zone. And let's run over to the Horn Malloy Skype chat group and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky. Oh, Sparky.
Hey, I'm here, Bob. I'm here.
Oh, okay. You scared me.
Just had a neighborhood little deal going on. Somebody coming around looking for a lost German Shepherd.
Uh-oh.
So we're getting a phone number.
Oh, okay. Raining there?
Oh, no, no. It quit raining. But the good news was we had the rainiest October-November since 1984.
That's helpful.
Mm-hmm. Now if it only continue. Now all we got is a cold north wind blowing every day.
Kind of brisk here in the studio right now. It is 56 degrees in here. I just can't bring myself to turn on the propane yet.
Well, as long as you bundle up, you'd be all right.
Yeah, I got my Uggs on. Agnes puts the Uggs on the boot warmer and brings them in. I'm pretty well. It's not really uncomfortable. I think I kind of prefer to be cool rather than hot.
Well, Rick is having birthday cake right now, and Tim's in a classroom, so I just...
Okay, yeah, I saw...
Won't be able to answer.
Yeah, I saw Tim. Tim said he can't talk today. He's in class. Mm-hmm. Is it Rick's birthday?
No, somebody else is in the
okay.
office. He'd be back and give us a...
Because I thought we celebrated his birthday not too long back. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't losing it.
Yeah, we did. We did. Somebody in the office. But he'll be back and give us a trip report probably on his vacation.
That's true.
Floor and parts unknown.
Got to hang out with Jim from Louisiana Stan for a little bit. Well, that being the case, let's check in with Snork and see what's happening. Hey, Snork. Snork?
He's not around either.
Okay.
I think Steve's there.
Steve, are you there? Somebody's got to be here besides me and Sparky.
Yeah, I'm here. Of course, I'm always here, Bob. What's going on, brother?
Always?
Well, not always. Most of the time.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I mean, you know, I checked in at 5 a.m. You weren't there.
It's probably getting ready for work, you know. Some of us has to do that, Bob.
Oh, God Almighty, yeah. I'll just put the question out there. What do you think of the notion of Obama and Biden simultaneously resigning and just saying, "Okay, guys, do your best."
I like it.
It's
genius. Go ahead, Duncan.
It would be interesting to see. Yeah. But I think it's wishful thinking.
It's not going to happen, right? Just like the recount, you know, it's not going to change a damn thing.
Oh, but wouldn't it be fun to hear the Republicans saying, "That's not fair. You got to stay till the end. There's no fair. We don't know how to do this." And then say, "Hey, look, you hated him for 8 years. You ought to be out dancing in the streets because the Kenyan Muslim you slurper's gone."
Gone, right. If you don't like it, that's your problem.
And you don't have to fly him to Hawaii for his vacation.
Yeah, it's on his dime now. And just the potential to pit, you know, because Paul Ryan was real, real cagey about, you know, whether or not he supported Trump. And just the potential to pit Ryan against Trump once Ryan went, "Well, I don't want to be the only 2-week president in the history of the country. Or 6-week president. I want to be the real president. Wait, I am the real president."
I think it's genius. How do we get this out into the mainstream, Bob? Whatever you say, we'll do it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, tweet it, Facebook it, talk about it.
Fax it to the White House? Or...
Yeah. How about a change.org petition begging the president and vice president to simultaneously resign?
Just bail. We're done. You know, you hated us so bad, we're out.
Elvis has left the building.
It's all yours. You wanted to blow it up? Here's the fuse.
Well, you can start one of the presidential petitions. Or if it gets to 100,000.
Well, I mean, change.org or whitehouse.org.
No, right. whitehouse.gov.
That's how Obama did Bill Maher.
I bet his website ain't going to change till the last minute, or the last day.
Yeah. I'm hearing an echo. That can't be me. I'm totally muted on everything.
Yeah, I hear it too. I don't know where it's coming from, though.
It's not me.
I don't hear
Bob,
it.
What is going on with your chat computer, brother?
Oh, it's the it's the main production machine, and it's very old and very sick.
So we need to start a computer fund and bring you back up to speed again, don't we?
Well, I probably need to build a new one. It's hard. It's hard to get one that does everything that I need that I need for it to do here. Just off the rack.
And you know how to do that? You can build one from the motherboard and the processor?
Yeah, I built this one.
Off the ground? No kidding.
Yeah, the biggest problem is that this is a 32-bit system with 4 gigs of RAM, and Windows 10 eats memory like, you know, popcorn.
Yeah, you need double that on both ends.
Well, and see, I mean, I started a very long time ago trying to go pay. I used to print out tons and tons and tons of stories and, you know, sit there with the highlighter and everything. And we went through reams and reams and reams of printer paper and ink by the barrels. And so I decided to go paperless. So I just have but that results in me having about a bajillion tabs open, which this system just cannot cope with very well.
And it freezes up, and when you need to access something real quick.
And lately it's just been flat out dying. I mean, be sitting here typing, chatting, blah, 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 and then black. Not even a B-side.
Well, nuts and bolts, what would it cost to get you to where you want to be?
You know, something like a really kick-ass 8-core AMD processor. Because, well, the Intel Core i7s are great, but they don't come cheap. So, you know, the motherboard, RAM, everything. Yeah, it probably comes out about $1,200.
$1,200. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I've built with one exception. I've built every computer we use in here. We started out with two computers that we bought at the beginning when we began the network. Boss Man Wayne and I bought two identical computers from Tiger Direct and configured them exactly how we wanted them. And inside of a year, they were both dead. And that was when Peter Godbold patiently spent like 12 hours on the phone with me teaching me to build a computer. And from that time forward, we built our own.
That's cool. Well, you got the knowledge there. It's always going to be there, like riding a bike, you know. I don't even like opening mine and blowing the dust out of it. I'm afraid I'm always going to hit the wrong wire or something, you know.
So, yeah, see, Snork just described in the chat section of the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Snork said, my new system is perfect for audio. AMD Base 64 Black Edition 8-core CPU, 4 gigahertz with top-of-the-line NVIDIA graphics card, and 32 gigs of RAM and two SSDs. That's about perfect.
Maybe you and Snark should hook up and throw something together, man.
Yeah, I would be curious to know.
How about sending you New Aid gift cards for Christmas?
That could work. That's a great idea. I mean, I'm not trying to hustle Christmas gifts for Bob or anything.
That's cool. That'll go in your P.O. box, too.
Yeah, it fits real easy.
Well, you can get them right up online. I just looked.
And what are they called again? Sparky, I'm going to write this down.
Newegg. NEWEGG.com.
Oh, I'll put the link in the chat.
Okay. Perfect. Well, looks like Snork's back, Bob, so if you want to rap at him, you know.
All right, and, you know, one of these days, you know, we've got to, you know, pretty much replace all the audio equipment here, but I keep thinking we're going to do a crowdfunding campaign for that, but God almighty, the work that has to go into that is just, well, it's stultifying.
Crazy. Blow your head off on it.
It is a full-time job for 30 solid days.
Well, I do want to jump back in here later and discuss the fires that burnt down my favorite tourist town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And what, 11 dead so far?
Yep, and going strong. You remember when Cletus got all snake-eyed at me because I was gone
she's still
four
pissed.
Or 5 days?
Yeah, you put her in puppy prison.
Well, that's where I was at, Gatlinburg, and last I heard, it's on fire. It just really makes me sad. You know?
I wonder if it's gotten Dollywood yet.
No, it's funny thing because Dollywood's all concrete. I heard it got right up to the front door and then wouldn't proceed any further. In fact, Dollywood was open for business today. Capitalism, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Man, it'd be cold. Wouldn't it be a little cold at Dollywood right now?
And smoky. Could you imagine the smoke? You'd have to walk around there with a respirator, you know?
Well, Dolly doesn't want to miss a dollar.
She's a businesswoman, Bob.
She damn sure is. Well, let's check in with Snork. What's happening, Snork?
Had to hit the unmute button.
Okay, because I was about to say, you know, after bragging about how the new computer you built's perfect for audio, you were kind of silent, Snork. It wasn't working for you.
Feel free to call me if you need any help. There's a little company called IBM.
Yeah.
I redesigned some of their factories for building computers and designed or I helped build one of their computer factories. And I had to teach their technicians how to put them together and write little books about how to put computers together for them.
Yeah, it's all kind of a matter of making sure that everything mates up properly.
Yes, the most important thing for somebody dealing with audio is that the stock coolers for IBMs are incredibly loud.
Yeah, well, and from time to time, when the cooler cranks up in this machine, it sounds a little bit like an airplane hangar in here, and people can hear it on air.
Okay, my microphone is right beside the fan, and I'm betting that you can't even hear it.
No, I can't.
And I have not one screen up, but three screens up running off that computer, which is also what I would suggest, is that you have at least two so that you can not only have multiple tabs, but have them spread across. The way the human mind works is you basically, for every item that you can see, you can remember seven things. So by being able to see three screens, you can keep 21 things in your active memory up front. There's a reason why phone numbers are made only seven digits long.
I'll be damned. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So while it looks silly, you know, you might think that, okay, I've got three screens, I could just flip between them. No, it actually changes how your brain works. So I went with a third-party cooler. I don't know if we want to do a product placement on there.
Oh, that's okay. Nobody's getting a check.
Okay, mine is from Noctua. I have a 9H U9S. And as I said in the little comment or chat log there, it is as quiet as an ant in a parka farting in a carpeted room. And the case fan and the CPU, you also want to buy your power supply. Sorry, I don't have that box in front of me. you want to buy your power supply with a super quiet. For audio usage, you do not want above 25 dB fan on your power supply.
Right.
And I was able to find a 16 dB power supply. So you could have it in the room with you. 16 dB is actually about as quiet or about as loud as your clothes rippling as you move while you're speaking.
Wow.
So, generally, that would take the noise of your CPU down. Get rid of the hard drives. I know this is an extra expense that you probably weren't expecting. Lose them.
Oh, no, I'd love to. Go with solid. Yeah, and frankly, a solid, the prices are coming down, the according to that, whatever that law was, about
yes.
technology there's increases.
There's another trick, is get two 1 terabyte or 750. I'm guessing you probably need at least 750s. The price of them isn't really that bad. But you want two, because you want one to be your swap drive, which you almost never will use if you put 32 gig of RAM in there. But Windows still wants you to have one. And it's a major snag when you're booting up. So you're going to put your swap drive on one hard or one SSD. You're going to put your operating system on the other. You'll mainly use the one, and that keeps it from hashing too much and wearing out your main drive. But the other thing does is when you if something should happen during this show and you need to reboot, I can send you specs on my system. Total reboot time is typically 4 seconds.
Oh.
5 seconds.
As opposed to an hour, which is what I just went through.
Right. And I think that backup is less of a glitch than some people might not even notice. I've had several times where...
And along the way, something else I've thought of in conjunction with all of this, I thought it might be kind of nice to, not just nice, but efficient and wise... Maybe on the next machine I build to build in a RAID array.
Maybe,
because that way, if you lose a drive, you don't lose your data.
Yeah, and you could RAID with just two, but
I was thinking more like four.
Well, I meant what the actual minimum is. I didn't mean what's best.
Yeah,
I think four or five is best. If you're going with four, you might as well go with five.
Yeah.
I find that the reliability of the software or components just isn't there. While it should theoretically decrease your ability to go, if they don't all have the same level of importance, and if you lose the base drive, it could take a significant amount of time to reset that up. And that's the only reason why I have a hot swap hard drives. My SSDs are in doors that I can flip open, pull. I can swap out all of my SSDs in 10 seconds and be rebooted in 15 seconds if I lost hard drives.
That's amazing. And like I said,
basically, I have to add on the amount of time it takes for me to put my pop down.
Yeah. And you know, a one terabyte SSD is really not that brutally expensive anymore.
No, you're talking about $300. The reason I say two is I know that you're incredibly time constrained, and that's why I say that ability to reboot in seconds is very important. And by putting your swap drive off, every time you start up, you don't have to overwrite your start swap drive at the beginning of your session. And you'd be surprised at what a change that makes.
Oh, I can imagine. I can absolutely imagine. In terms of the sound you were talking about, what are you using for a sound card?
I actually am using a Realtek Embedded, which is a pretty cheap thing to do. I believe I have secondary audio through my NVIDIA card, but I'm not using it at the time. My audio is about 7 years old, and I think my microphone is dead. So I'm currently speaking to you on my backup microphone, and I was planning on purchasing another one tonight. another, and I haven't decided whether to go with USB or another line mic. I really would like to go USB if I could.
I think you get better audio. I can speak very highly of the PreSonus audio box series.
Yeah, I also have a custom desk for my system. I do a lot of drawing, CAD drawing, where I need to have one screen where I'm actually looking up data. I've got one screen where I'm drawing in, and another screen that's got my emails and other stuff in it. So I have a 6 foot wide desk that has about a 20 inch opening in front of me. And it's like working into a bay window almost, where you have two screens at 45 degrees and one screen directly in front of me. Hanging from a top shelf that's equal in size to my desk, I have my two side channels of my speaker system, my center channels, and my microphone is hung almost like it was in a studio. And my camera's hanging down from the top shelf. Up on top of that, I have my subwoofer, my CPU's up there, so that none of the heat from the CPU is going over any other option. And I actually have my case off just to keep it off. When you're running a CPU at full bore, it tends to get very loud. And still, right now, you might be able to hear my furnace going, but I doubt you can hear my CPU fan. And but you need to do anything. I have a case that's upside down to normal cases. My power supply is on the bottom, and it pushes its heat, pulls its heat in from below, and it pushes it out the back. It doesn't push it across the.
That's efficient.
Yes, so the very top thing of my whole computer is the motherboard. And above my motherboard, I have space for three 5-inch fans, 144 millimeters. I'm trying to think what that is in inches. I do not use them currently. I just leave the case open. So I've got all my entire case on top is perforated, so it just lets all the heat out. It helps keep it cool. I've got that special cooler that I just mentioned. It blows the exhaust air over the RAM to help cool the RAM.
And you said you got 32 gigs of that?
Yeah, I've got 32 gigs for that, I think.
Will Windows utilize all 32 gigs of RAM?
As long as you have the 64-bit one.
Right, okay.
And the 32-bit code for Windows was written by AMD, not Microsoft.
I'll be darned.
When you open it up, it will say it'll actually have AMD in the name of the code.
Kind of like a million years ago when I had a Porsche 944S. If you got underneath it, you would find the letters VW stamped on the engine block.
Yeah. Well, what happened was Windows was going to release a 32-bit Windows only. AMD said, but we're putting out all these. Processors, and Windows said, no, we can't afford to put the extra cost. The Defense Department wanted some of these processors for some simulators. So AMD agreed that they would produce the code necessary for them to run their simulators on AMDs. And then it was included for the release of Windows, I think it was Windows 7. And since then, it's always been an AMD code for the 64-bit.
Well, I like AMD processors. I mean, you pay a premium for the Intel stuff, and AMDs tend to run a little hotter, but pretty reliable.
AMDs actually run a little bit cooler.
They do now?
It's cooler by the amount of throughput they have. If you go with actual temperature, it's up there. But if you go with the throughput, the AMD running comparably to the top of the line Intel is about half the actual thermal throughput.
I'll be darned.
The AMDs also use half the energy of an Intel. But I'm not saying the Intels are not good products.
No. But the price point is what stops me.
The way the two operate internally is extremely different, and that's where it comes as a change. And I haven't kept up with it regularly. I used to attend the meetings they had for engineers to go to. My kids always loved it because that mean I'd be bringing home another another motherboard from the show, and I'd slap it in, and then another family member would get my last computer. And we named all of our computers after cartoon characters. So my kids still remember the names of all of our computers just like they know the names of all the pets we've had.
Nice. Huh. Well, has Rick rejoined the conversation, or is he still birthday celebrating? I'm going to take that to mean still birthday.
He hasn't typed anything, so.
Okay.
And I'm currently cooking chili.
Ooh, yummy.
And I tried to get Tracy in, but she didn't answer the call.
Yeah, I saw that. I guess she's probably busy or some such. Thanks very kindly to Steve and Ms. Karen and Cletus. They have taken Shirley's challenge down to only $75 to go, and only $275 to go to finish fundraising and not be in a hole for More and Monday. I really do regret what happened last night, but not a damn thing to be done about it. So we found ourselves in a hole today. But $275 to go. For the whole evening, $75 to go to wipe out, to meet Shirley's challenge. And hopefully that will happen in the next hour or so. Anybody want to jump in? We had a lot of responses via email when I was playing the clip from... And Milo Yiannopoulos went on like that for an hour and 25 minutes. Thoughts? Anybody?
What was his last name again?
Yiannopoulos.
He sounds British.
He is, but of Greek extraction.
Oh.
Think I'd rather listen to Metal Boom, if you want to know the truth.
No, stop it, Steve.
Don't get him started, right, Rick?
Right,
Duncan? Don't get him started.
Right.
Yeah, I got it here. I can do that.
Nah, that guy was something else, though. I mean,
Scott from San Diego is about ready to join us.
Okay, cool.
And I did see that Trump has called and congratulated the president or new president of Taiwan.
Yeah, that's going to go over so well in Beijing. They're going to love that. Hey, Scott, how's Punky?
I don't know. I'm at the store. Punky is probably at home.
I like how you say probably.
Well.
You just really don't know what the bird gets up to when you turn your back on him, do you?
No. Back when it was Punky and Trixie and the other cat that I used to have and then the other cat, I was just... doing afternoon drive at a Cincinnati jazz radio station, and I'd come back and there'd be like half empty pizza boxes with half catnip, half bird seed. You know, there'd be pay-per-view stuff,
extra anchovies stuff for the cat.
yeah but anyway, can you hear me okay? I'm at the grocery
store. You're doing fine.
Potato chip aisle. Let me park my cart. Anyway, how you doing? Everything okay?
All good.
Good.
I wonder, I saw you mentioned your cart there for a minute. And it got me thinking, is there anywhere in the United States that the grocery stores or whatever use those shopping carts with four-wheel independent steering? I saw those in Germany, and I thought they were the neatest thing I'd ever seen. Because you can literally move the cart sideways.
Well, this one, now that you mentioned sideways carts, this one in a previous life was an office chair. Because none of these wheels goes in the same direction, and I don't think it was designed that way.
Yeah, the woogity-woogity wheels.
Yes, indeed. But anyway, do you want anything while I'm at the store?
I found some really, really good smoky Gouda cheese spread.
Ooh.
I can highly recommend that. And
makes it?
It came from Wally World, so, or maybe Sam's Club.
Okay.
But there's bound to be something equally yummy at Costco or Trader Vic's or, Trader Joe's or Trader Hank's.
As a general rule, I do not frequent Wally World unless I, definitely cannot help it.
Well, because they're evil.
Well, there is that, yeah. I'm at, the store here is called Ralph's.
Yeah, which is the same as Kroger's.
Yeah, it's one of the regional Kroger's. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at a thing of Kroger iodized salt.
Yep, Kroger Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Right. Yeah, over at our Kroger's, we've been getting the splurging from time to time because God, Agnes loves it. And getting this, and you might want to look over in the fancy cheese section there at Ralph's. This imported from Denmark, aged Havarti. I keep talking about it, and for good reason. It's astonishing. I mean, I love Havarti as it is, but this stuff's aged at least a year, and it's a little bit harder.
There for a while, I was into the laughing cow things.
Ah, la vache qui rit. Oui, oui.
And, I don't know what it is about that stuff, but and I go in cycles. For a while it was wonderful, served up on some rosemary olive oil Triscuits. Even Punky like that, and he's a finicky eater. But anyway, so have we? I've been kind of out of commission lately, kind of. Spending some time figuring out where we go from here. And just so you'll know, I don't know yet where we go from here. I posted a video on my Facebook the other night. I found a magic wand that I've had for like 20 years. And it's made of lucite, and inside of it is some sort of oil. And in the oil are a bunch of little sparkly shapes that are very colorful. And you wave the wand and they move around inside the wand. So I figure I'll be waving that thing furiously for the next 4 years when I encounter stuff that doesn't work for me as a human being. And it will either have great effect or it will have none effect. You know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that anybody knows where we're going. But if people like Milo Yiannopoulos are any indication, it's not going to be a nice. It's not going to be a pleasant trip or a nice arrival.
Well, on his very last CD, George Harrison added a song called "Any Road," and the gist of it is: if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And that seems to be quite a fitting tune for the uncertain future. But then again, the future is always uncertain. Nobody knows from day to day what's next.
No, it's not a map so much as a philosophical guide. We have an idea where we'd like to go. We'd like to have universal single payer health care. Now we're not going to have anything at all, probably.
Where do you what is your timeline on the majority, supposedly, at least in the electoral vote, electorate? When in the near future do you think it'll finally dawn on them that they've been had?
I don't think it will, Scott. I mean, I want to say that, for instance, there'll be a terrible price for Trump to pay if he doesn't build the wall. But he's not going to build the wall, and he's not going to prosecute Hillary. But they're still sitting there. They're still sitting there in Cincinnati last night, chanting "Lock her up and build the wall."
Well, but see, that's where I was going with this. I'm thinking he's already disappointed them on close to half a dozen counts already. He's not even been sworn in yet, and you know these folks pay attention to stuff because it tends to feed the outrage and the upset and the fear. And all of that. So I think at some point it's going to dawn on a significant number of them that maybe, you know, buyer's remorse will set in. And then the question becomes, what happens after that? And that could
But I mean, if we gauge, Scott, if we gauge what he's going to do by what he's already done, if past, as Shakespeare said, is prologue, then all he has to do is keep lying to them and keep telling them, well, you know, we're making America great again. I mean, look at the fraud that was perpetrated in Indiana. Okay, I mean, it's like that story about people going through the woods being pursued in winter in a sleigh being pursued by wolves. You know, every once in a while they take somebody and throw him over the back of the sleigh to slow down the wolves.
Yeah,
but you run out. You run out of sleigh occupants pretty quick that way, and he just threw 1,000 people to the wolves and paid, and they paid Carrier for the privilege of doing it.
Yeah. But getting back to, you know, the notion that I was pondering there, I don't know how much of the. JFK school at Harvard, the little powwow that the former campaign managers on both sides had the other night. But according to one of Trump's people, he's going to have to get a new hat with a brand new slogan. And I forget exactly who it was, but it was one of his people in the campaign who at this thing the other night said, well, you know, your problem, folks, is that you're taking him literally, you know, and we mustn't do that. So the new slogan on the new hats is going to be, I know you think you understood what I said, but what you heard is not what I meant.
You well, know, yeah, and that works nicely with something that, who was it? One of the Trumpansy blondes said, let me see if I can find it real quick. There's a clip, and before the computer crashed, I actually had it. There it is. Yeah, there it is.
The computer crashed.
Yeah, I had a crash in the middle, and right after the program started, it sucked a lot. It took an hour to reboot. Oh, it was Scotty Nell Hughes.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Scott, you got an obnoxious sound coming from the grocery store.
Yeah, it's probably somebody trying to steal something by the door, and they've got this little alarm that goes off. Sorry about that.
Well, Scotty Nell Hughes went on the Diane Rehm show, and, you know, Diane is a very gentle interview, and she asked Scotty Nell Hughes... what she thought when various people called out the lies that Trump tells. And here's the answer. And I'm not making this up. She said, well, I think it's also an idea of an opinion, And that's, on one hand, I hear half the media saying that these are lies, but on the other half, there are many people that go, no, it's true. And so one thing that has been interesting this entire campaign season to watch is that people that say facts are facts, they're not really facts. And then this, I mean, you write, you know, when you go, just remember, if you're ever going to call a program from the grocery store, you got to take the hockey puck with you, Scott. Then she said, there's no such thing, unfortunately, anymore as facts. And so Mr. Trump's tweet amongst a certain crowd, a large part of the population, are truth. When he says that millions of people illegally voted, he has some in his amongst him and his supporters, and people believe they have facts to back that up. Those that do not like Mr. Trump, they say that those are lies and there are no facts to back it up. And another person who was appearing on the program with her, Glenn Thrush from Politico, said, I got to pick my jaw up off the floor here. There are no objective facts. I mean, yeah, okay, there's no gravity. We just happened by the grace of God not to be floating up off the floor.
You know what that reminds me of? And it's like turnabout is fair play. And back in the 90s, back when outcome-based education was a big thing, and part of that argument had to do with morality being subjective in the minds of the people who didn't think much of that type of morality. And that's what that reminds me of. It's like, you know, there is either truth or there is not truth. There's either reality or there's not reality. And now they're changing their tune because it seems to suit them and their purposes, is what it sounds like.
Well, remember the phrase reality-based community from the Reign of Error?
Okay, yeah.
And Karl Rove said, as Jug of Punch points out in the chat room, Karl Rove said, we make our own reality. but it's true. I mean, going to the larger universe of your question, Scott, if he doesn't build the wall, he's gonna. If he doesn't build the wall, it's only because, thanks Obama. If he doesn't put 11 million people in concentration camps and then you know, get them out of the country or out of the world somehow, it's only because those liberals are stopping him.
Well, no, that's not exactly true. Pardon me for invoking truth. One of the Republicans the other day, or recently, within the last couple of weeks, said, well, this thing about this mass deportation, we're not going to fund that. Am I remembering that correctly? I forget who it was who said that.
Well, I think you are, and there was also the Republican who said in the last couple of days that there is no way in heaven or hell he's going to sit still for Paul Ryan to privatize Social Security and Medicare.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Well, see, this brings me to the next thought, and that is this. He does not operate in a vacuum, okay? Being chief executive can only take you so far when you have separate but equal branches of government, and you know Congress is not going to sit still. And I'm talking about some of the Republicans here for some of the stuff that he may well want to do, and maybe his supporters think he ought to do it, but saying it and doing it are two different things, as my ex-wife used to tell me.
Sounds like that probably comes with some memories.
Which is one of the reasons she is my ex-wife and not my current wife. As a matter of fact, there is no current wife. There's just me, a cat, and a bird.
And a Ralph's.
And it's working out rather nicely.
Yeah. But it remains to be seen.
There's just... Like I typed to our buddy the Angry Indian a few minutes ago, the swamp drain's got a Mnuchin stuck in it, plugging it up.
It's got a Ted Nugent stuck in it. What?
Yeah.
Those are nasty. Those are worse than hairballs in the drain of life.
Ew.
Icky.
Hey everybody.
Hey, there's Rick.
Is that Rick?
Yeah.
How was the birthday cake?
Enjoying a chocolate cake rush. One of our clerical people here had a birthday today. So I had to partake of the obligatory chocolate cake. So it was nice.
Hot digging.
You're a fiend for that chocolate cake, Rick.
Yeah, well, a lot of people in the office do like the chocolate cake. So anyway, I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. I didn't get to watch or listen to the show. but I saw that one was done, and I had the pleasure of meeting and hanging out with Jim from Louisianistan.
So that had to be a blast. To
Jim, he's on the line. And
was it everything you thought it would be? Your visit to Louisiana?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was great. We hung out at a bar called Ryan's,
all right,
which is one of Jim's favorite places, a couple of blocks off of Bourbon Street, and had like a couple of drinks, or in some of our cases, like about 5 or 6 drinks, and then had dinner.
Nice. Did you get any oysters?
No, I didn't get oysters, but I did have jambalaya that night. That was good.
Did you find time for a muffaletta from Central Grocery?
No, and I also didn't have a beignet either, which I should have had.
Well, so these are all good reasons to go back to New Orleans.
Exactly. But it was great to meet Jim, hang out with him. He had a lot of interesting things to say, and a good dude all around. And I had my son there, and so he was drinking as well. And we actually tried to call your show from the car on Wednesday night, because that's the night we were, or Tuesday night, I guess it was, your Tuesday night show, last Tuesday. And we couldn't get through. We were trying on the, was it the stress line? It was the 4676 line, I think,
yeah,
or whatever. Couldn't get through for some, well, we sort of got through. We got on hold at one time and then kind of ran out of time.
Ah, okay. So, okay, I wondered what was going on there.
Oh, you remember that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we were trying to get through. We were going to do like a group call over the Bluetooth in the car. So, but it's okay,
Well, I don't know if you heard the earlier part of the program, but I mentioned this idea that sort of sprung into my head. What do you think of the idea, Rick, of Obama and Biden simultaneously going ahead and resigning?
Yeah, I heard about that. I don't know if that would have any impact.
It would make Paul Ryan president of the United States.
Yeah, for like 2 months until January 21st of 2017.
But if it happened right now, it might inspire Paul Ryan to decide that maybe the Electoral College needed to elect him president.
Oh. Do we want him president, though?
No, but we want the Republicans to tear themselves into little tiny bloody pieces.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob. Yeah. Bob,
yes, Scott.
Sorry for chiming in. I need to check out here, literally and figuratively. But I'm glad I was able to get through, and I'm alive and well, despite any rumors that you might have heard. I was just taking a little time to conjugate. Is it conjugate? Or is that a verb?
It can be a verb. It can be several things. But we'll take it as read. You conjugated.
Yeah, basically, in with such a momentous thing occurring in recent days, sometimes you just have to be quiet for a while and look at it and just let your mind wander a bit. But anyway, I've wandered back, and a good weekend to you and all the fun lovers and truth seekers, and I'll be listening as they ring me up.
All right. You take care, Scott.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Happy grocering.
Thank you. I'm done. Now I got to take it all home and cook it. Some of it, anyway.
Sounds
Give
good
Punky
to me.
Give Punky a kiss for us, Scott.
Oh, he loves being kissed. No, he does. He's very. He won't let me pet him, but he'll let me kiss him on the back or on the chest.
Oh.
But I guess he's saving himself, or maybe he's still mourning Trixie, who was his mate for a number of years. But anyway. Let me get going, and you all take care.
All right.
See you, Scott.
Okay, see ya.
So,
hang on a second, Rick. I was just going to, I heard Tracy's voice, and I was going to check in with her. What's happening, Tracy?
Hey, Bob, how the hell are you?
Kind of cold. It's 56 in here. 55 now.
Yes. Well, I just drove all the way from L.A. all the way down to Escondido to come see Queen Latifah in concert, and the concert's been canceled.
Well, how nice. I mean, they couldn't announce that or something?
I'm telling you, and since, I'm not a big-time player here, but, I have a host that, well, here's the problem. I don't have a host anymore. My host has been promoted, and so we're still waiting to get a host. Because had we had a host, I would have known that the concert was canceled. But here's the worst part. I invited a girl because Jan's sick, so I invited a friend of mine to come down, and she's stuck in traffic trying to get here.
And she doesn't know either?
Well, no, I just called her. She's like, are you fucking kidding me? And I'm like,
yep, turn around.
No, that's what I said, but she's too, you know, she's one of those things. She's stuck in traffic anyway, and she's too far to really turn around. So the good news is we get a free buffet out of it.
Nice. So how far is it from L.A. to Escondido?
About 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
I keep forgetting how damn big California really is.
I know, and here's the thing. I was telling somebody about this, and Rick can attest to this, how you could drive for 5 hours north and still be in California. It takes I think you got to drive 10 hours north to get into Oregon. You got to drive 4 to 5 miles. You got 5 hours east to get out to Arizona or Nevada.
You so, take yeah. 8 hours just to get to me.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Seriously.
Well, meanwhile,
I can see why we could be our own country for sure, you know?
Yeah, and I bitch about 2 hours to get out. It's 2 hours to get out of West Virginia going west, 2 hours going east, and about 2.5 going north.
Yeah, so shut up.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a little driving this weekend.
Good.
I'm really kind of excited.
I mentioned
Euripides Play the Trojan Women. And lo and behold, 33 years after I played in it at WVU, WVU is doing it again. So wow. I'm going to try to go this weekend and see it.
Will the Nelly Faggot still be there?
No, he's gone. Yeah, he's off to slime a professor on another campus somewhere. Wasn't he just precious?
Motherfucker.
Man.
I'm sitting there and Will was listening to it too, right? Because I had it on the car radio. And he's like, isn't it funny when people, and this is coming from a kid that has a high spectrum of autism. And this is, so he's very literal. So he's like, I tickles, you know, it's funny when people say they're taking the Lord's name in vain, like it's a bad, but it's a, there's a purpose to it. When you do something in vain, you have no purpose.
Well done.
Very well done. That guy was a total douche. That's the best word I can think to describe him, you know?
I still like Nelly Faggot.
Uncle Mary's pretty good, too.
Uncle Mary.
Uncle Mary really was cowbell worthy.
That was cowbell shit right there. But, yeah, Bob, it was like, I would love for him to go on The Daily Show. Wasn't that interview great?
That was beautiful. For those of you who don't know what Tracy's referring to is Miss Aggrieved White Privilege 2016, Tommy Lauren, went on The Daily Show and got herself interviewed by Trevor Noah, who, in very short order, made a complete fool of her.
Mm-hmm.
That was everything, beautiful.
It was... I got a Woody. I'm sorry. I
Of course you did.
I got a Woody. I did. Who's choking? Who did I make choke?
You got somebody.
I got somebody choke.
No, that line about you know, for somebody who's not a for somebody who spends a lot of time saying she's not a racist, you sure sound like a racist.
My personal favorite, why are you so angry? I mean, he started the interview off. He's like, because you're always yelling. What? I'm not angry. Are you sure? Because you seem really angry.
And then when he asked her about the KKK.
Oh, yeah. How Black Lives Matter are the new KKK. And he's like, do you know who the KKK is? You stupid bitch. That's what he wanted to say. But he was so good. And just the faces that he was making, because he's like, I can't. But when he said, she's like, oh, I'm an alliance, dude. And he's like, I don't think so. Wait, is that an African thing? She probably even realized, didn't even think the fact that he's from South Africa. She probably even get the joke. It probably went out over her head.
I think a lot of it probably does.
Right. But did you see, I didn't post it. It was another clip of, I don't know, I guess it was a CNN reporter who actually did a palm to her head to these people who were saying that 3 million illegals voted in California.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still looking for all those illegals. All I know is about an Iowa voter, a Trump supporter, who voted like two different precincts like a week before the election.
Right.
Tried to early vote twice, you know?
3 million people. So, hey, I know where all 3 million of those immigrants are. They're all on the 405 right now.
Because that's where you are?
No, I'm in my hotel room. I got here about an hour ago, so I'm chilling in a hotel and eating cheese and crackers and processed meat food, which is, you know, I shouldn't be eating this kind of stuff, but you know what? Fuck it.
Well, hey, I got the clip up here. Let's check out a little bit of this, shall we?
Oh, please. Please do.
Is that like an African thing? No. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the show. Before we get into it, I know who you are because my Facebook feed has you in it. There are a lot of people who don't, so if you don't know Tommy Lahren, this is a little taste of her show.
The protesters are still out in force, but let's be honest, they're not protesters. They're crybabies with nothing better to do than meander around the streets with their participation trophies and false sense of purpose. This isn't for Hillary.
Let's
I'm not even sure this is against Trump.
It's
the same thing
we've
seen. Entire final thoughts on that, and I was very clear. Now, at that time, it was between Hillary and Donald, so I'm comparing Donald Trump to Hillary Clinton, not the Pope and not God. So for me, what he said, though I found it inappropriate, and quite frankly, I was kind of not so much surprised, but it was not a good day for Trump supporters. It didn't look good. It didn't sound good. It's not defensible. But I'm still comparing someone who said some nasty things to a woman that has done nasty things. And I don't think what he said had an impact on his governance whatsoever. It's not good things we want to hear, but at the end of the day, does that impact my taxes? That doesn't impact immigration, national security? It doesn't, so I can get past it.
It may impact the way women are perceived and treated in a country. It may impact the way women are looked at in a country where already you're dealing with a lot of issues.
I mean, even like Saudi Arabia, which Hillary Clinton took money from?
You don't need to go far when you're in a country where every single day women are being beaten and raped. You're going far when you have issues in your own country. And when a president says things like that, I would assume, maybe I'm not seeing it from your point of view, I would assume that you would at least be able to see that. You say you call people out on their bull. Isn't that a situation where that
was
bullshit?
It was. It wasn't defensible, though. What he said, I'm not defending what he said. I'm saying that words to me are far less egregious than actions. And when I talk about actions, some of the positive actions of Donald Trump that few people fail to recognize, the liberals fail to recognize the fact that on his construction projects, female project managers, Kellyanne Conway, now we talk about glass ceilings, first successful campaign manager, female. Why are the liberals not talking about that? This is a kick-ass woman, but no one wants to give her that credit because she's a conservative.
Well,
because she's an idiot.
Give credit to a person for kicking ass for somebody who we have shown. You want to talk about construction, a person who has stolen jobs from people by screwing them out of the money that they deserve. I mean, let's not make it a Trump thing. Let's talk about the show as a whole, because it's an interesting conversation that we have these days. We go, people are in their bubbles. That's what fascinates me about your show.
Okay.
You did a piece on Kaepernick that was huge, you know, where you railed on Kaepernick about not standing during the national anthem. You do pieces on Black Lives Matter that go huge. I mean, millions of people watch this. So you agree you have a voice and you understand that people are looking to you, yes?
Yes, I do. Very proud of that.
I would love to know what you intend, like what you think your purpose is or what you're trying to do.
There is a segment of this country between the coasts that is largely ignored. The flyover states, if you will, state that I'm from, being South Dakota. I mean, I don't think we'd even be talking about the Dakotas at all if it weren't for the pipeline, to be honest. There's an entire segment of Americans out there that are ignored by the coasts, and then everyone is concentrated in those areas. They're the important areas. And then there's a section of the country in the middle, which Donald Trump was able to win quite handily, by the way, that felt ignored by the coast, felt ignored by the mainstream media, felt ignored by the liberals and the conservatives alike in D.C.
You ever wonder how they can feel so ignored when the for-profit media was camped out in Iowa, camped out in Indiana, camped out? You know, coming to, you know, how many reporters did they send to West Virginia to find some toothless dude sitting in front of his clabbered church babbling about Jesus and Trump? That ain't exactly ignored, is it?
No. What do you call it?
Economic anxiety.
These economically anxious motherfuckers. Did I do that right?
Yes.
I like that. That kind of was nice. Economically anxious. That's another one way we can do that. Economically anxious motherfuckers, you. So that's how we use it as an adjective, right? I am tired of these bitches. You know, poor us, because, you know, we're white and people don't pay attention to us. Bob, explain this to me. Because, see, I'm confused because I'm black and I have my own issues and I really can't help, you know, worry. I can't stand no white folks crying. But please explain to me how they are so aggrieved. How are they so economically anxious? Because what, they don't have jobs? They didn't have jobs before our president came into office.
Well, I'd be anxious too if I had spent a generation voting for people who promised to fuck me and then they fucked me.
Right.
But my anxiety would be more like, why do I keep doing this to me?
Right.
I don't necessarily know that that's an answer. Let's get a little more aggrieved white privilege going on here. Stand by. Yeah, that too.
I want to give voice to those people. Those people that may be too afraid to voice it themselves. People that would be afraid of being labeled into silence. Because you can call me whatever the hell you want. I won't back down.
When you say people are afraid, I mean, they don't seem afraid. The actions don't, conjure up the word fear when you see how they're reacting to the win. I will say this is interesting. You say it's about those people who didn't have a voice. It's about the people in that. And yet they're railing against the people in D.C., but D.C. for a long time has been controlled by the Republicans, Republicans who made sure that government didn't move for so long that the people got even angrier. But I've never heard you call that out. And I feel like everyone can see that. Or is that something maybe I'm not saying?
No, I actually call it out often. That's why I was a supporter of Donald Trump, because I do think we need an outsider. The Republicans need it just as much as anyone else. We need a shakeup. We need someone to come in from the outside, someone that hasn't been so heavily influenced by D.C. and a political culture and a political future, to come in and shake everyone, shake the cobwebs off everything.
Yeah, shake up everything by appointing a Goldman Sachs executive secretary of the Treasury and an Amway religiously insane fundamentalist as Secretary of Education. Yeah, that sure is. That's some shakeup, isn't it? I know. By the way, Robert in Australia just writes, 3 million illegals voted? When and how did they get the IDs?
It was in California. You don't need IDs in California.
It, right. You can just, you know, vote 6 or 7 times and leave.
Well, I told you what happened to me when I tried to vote. And because they hadn't changed my address yet, I had to do a provisional ballot. So you just, even if you don't have ID, because they didn't ask you for ID, you got to write down your license, your name, your all this, on top of the fact that your ballot doesn't get counted right away. They have to match it against the voter rolls. So you can't vote more than once in California. Okay, let me just say, you can vote more than once in California. You can vote 30 times. You can go from county to county, from precinct to precinct. But I'm being facetious. What I'm saying is, if your name is not on the voter rolls, if you
it ain't going to count.
It's not going to count. That's my point.
Yeah.
But that's reality world, and let's remember, there are no such things as Scotty Neil Hughes said, there are no such things as facts anymore.
That's if so a Trump,
if a Trumpanzee believes it, that makes it real. And yeah, that gives me the sweats. So,
well,
yeah.
Hey, there was that one interview with a gal, a Trumpanzee gal. She said there about the 300,000 dead people voted in California or something, and she believes it.
Yep, or, that's the set. Well, they said, oh, so there was dead people too. See, I got the 3 million illegals, so we got 300.
Maybe it was just the illegals, but I mean,
maybe it was 3 million dead illegals.
There you go.
The zombie vote.
The zombie. There you go. You needed to do a cowbell for yourself there, Bob.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Rick.
You bet.
Don't forget the zombie contingent. Yep. See, the good news is I'm sitting in my hotel room watching Star Trek, so it can't be all that bad.
There you go. What's the episode?
Oh, when they're on this planet that Kirk gets attacked by this monster with like three horns or whatever, or four, the horns coming out of his back.
The Gorn.
Oh, is that the Gork? Oh, the Gork. That's my all-time
the
favorite.
The Gorn, yeah. In fact, Once Upon a Time, I wrote an alternative lyric to a Doors song based on that on that episode.
Really?
Yeah. Just another lost alien with obsidian knife. Obsidian knife. Obsidian knife. Ah!
Sounds like a good driving song. Sounds like L.A. Woman there, Bob.
Well, that's exactly what it was.
That's the all-time best driving song on L.A. freeways. I've actually turned my camera on my phone while driving to that song and sung along to it. It's funny.
That was kind of
but, terrifying. The thing about the facts not mattering, this really kind of harks back to the idea that first germinated in the Bush administration, George W. administration.
I see what you did there, germinated. Ah. Germinated.
There you go. Hey, what can I say? Anyway. Oh, my God. Thank you. Oh, that's okay. Yeah, that's all right. I don't need the cowbells. But anyway, they were talking about how they create their own reality, that whole idea. We can do whatever we want. We just have to use the right language and, convince people to follow us, basically. So,
which goes back in time to the original words to use list as promulgated in the early 90s by Newt Gingrich.
Right. And facilitated by
Democrat instead of Democratic to emphasize the syllable rat.
Right. And death tax instead of estate tax.
Yep.
Which, by the way, I'm sure is going to get abolished by the repubs, Yeah, it's nothing new. It's nothing new under the sun. I mean, and as Americans get more ignorant, they're not gonna know who to blame once they lose their Medicare, their Social Security.
Rick, they may not know.
Obama's fault.
Yeah, they may not know, but they'll be told.
Right, they'll be told it's the Democrats.
And thanks, Obama. It's his dark Kenyan muslin usurper hand reaching back, reaching into the future to kill freedom some more.
Sort of like he caused the Iraq war, the invasion of Iraq. It was his fault. The whole quagmire in the Middle East, right?
Yep.
I mean, there are Americans out there who think he actually started the Iraq war, not Bush.
Probably 40% of them think that or more.
I think it's more than that, Rick, to tell you the truth, because remember, we're talking about people who said 3 million illegals voted in California.
Yeah. Well, have these people gone off their meds, or are they on too many meds?
See, that's the thing, Rick. We can blame it on not being on medication or being too much medication or whatever the case may be, but that is not the case. The case is they believe what they believe because, like Bob is saying, for the last 30 years, they have been listening to this bullshit of Rush Limbaugh,
right.
Fox News. They have been scared into submission.
I mean, okay, case in point, Tracy, the other day when I accidentally heard Flush Limbaugh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he was fulminating. My friends, Donald J. Trump has just done something amazing. He's saved 1,000 American jobs, good paying jobs at Carrier, and Obama never saved a single job.
God, what bullshit!
Jeez,
my hand to God.
I know.
And the little ditto monkeys are out there going, yes, Rush, yeah. That's the truth. That Rush, he is a truth teller.
Jeez. Well, you know, the whole thing with the Carrier thing, I mean, it's smoke and mirrors because they lost 1,300 jobs.
And 1,000 are going to be gone pretty probably within the next year or so.
And I want to know how those 1,300 people are going to feel about the 1,000 people who got to keep theirs.
Yeah,
there you go.
Well, it was.
From what I hear, there's two different plants.
Yeah, there are.
Right. What one made theaters
staying open?
One made
air
conditioners
closing.
Yep. One made heaters. One made air conditioners.
So
yeah,
it's fucked.
Hey, let me jump in real quick, just because we're running out of time. We got 19 minutes to go in the program.
Oh wow.
And we are $275 down, and most importantly, $75 of that remains in Shirley's challenge. And Shirley almost always succeeds. So hopefully that $75 will be knocked down, so that'll double your money. And then there's $200 to go that's just for today because yesterday was such a screw-up.
Well, throw me in for 20.
Okie doke. Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome.
So $55 to go.
A full houses tonight. I can do something more on Monday.
I'll match Tracy's and call her on 5 more to make it 25.
Okay, so you've seen
poker
her 20.
Reference, poker reference.
You've seen and raised. So 30 bucks to go on Shirley's challenge and 230 to go on the entire night. Thank you, Rick. Thank you very kindly. So, Steve, I wanted to go back to you for a minute because you said you wanted to talk at greater length about the burning of the burning of Gatlinburg. What were your thoughts?
Well, Bob, I mean, it's disheartening because I don't know if you don't live that. You're in the Appalachian Mountains. Have you ever been to Gatlinburg?
I have not.
This has been a tourist attraction. It's been around. I mean, when my mom and dad
it's
recorded.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, and for the climate deniers to say, oh, there's no global warming, there is something definitely going on when Gatlinburg is on fire, Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Look, it's a product of drought, and we need to take into consideration that the entirety of the Appalachian Mountains are, in fact, a rainforest. It is a temperate rainforest. When it doesn't rain in the rainforest, something is badly wrong.
And we went, I don't know, 27 days without rain. Bob, here where I live, we have prominent fishing ponds that are now dust bowls.
Yeah, because you're in the north, you know, the North Georgia Mountains that Malloy talks about.
Right, we're all connected. These mountains are all connected, so.
Yeah, you're just lucky enough not to have any coal under your part of the Appalachians.
But, you know, it's very difficult to try to comprehend what is going on. What's not difficult for me, but for these knuckle-draggers out here, they don't want to face the facts, you know.
And the world keeps changing every day.
Yeah, but
you see my links I posted.
Yes, sir.
On the wolves.
That is awesome.
Our immigrants from Oregon, who came from Idaho.
So are they Oregoning California, or are they Californicating Oregon? No, I guess it's the other way around, right, Sparky?
But the one article is about did the glaciers lure the wolves back? Because the only glaciers are on the east side of Mount Shasta, and they could see them from Oregon.
Just like Palin can see Russia from her house?
Her house, yeah. Good point, Tracy.
We should send her to Moscow to get her out of this country at least. You know, she'd be great.
She thinks Moscow's in Idaho.
And can you believe they want to make her secretary of the VA? That makes my stomach turn.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Or not? Has her name been announced yet? Or it's just
Yes, they're kicking it around.
Oh, they're hopefully kicking it around. Okay.
Well, it hasn't been announced as actual.
Right.
It's kicking it's around. It's been leaked. And hopefully they won't change the filibuster.
It's a trial balloon. They send it up and see if it floats.
Well, let's hope not. You know, for all my VA friends out there and anybody that's directly or indirectly connected to the VA, like I am now, I mean, she could just blow the whole thing up, man.
Well, I'm not connected, but I know a lot of people because I try to file for VA benefits once and they turn me down because I made too much money.
Oh, and Steve, here's an interesting observation coming from Mike in Cascadia. Subject line, Gatlinburg. Is that close to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park? Yes.
Yes.
If so, beware the public land privateers. They'll say the feds aren't managing the woods and thus the fire happens, so hand them over to a private concern.
Or they say it's all a natural progression, nature's way of cleaning out the underbrush of the woods. How many times have you heard that shit, Bob?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in nature, that does happen. But, No.
It started out at Chimney Rock, which is the highest point in Gatlinburg. And then it just spread so wild, these poor folks didn't even have time to get the hell out of there. I don't know if you've seen any of this horrific footage or not, but they're trying to escape. And
the roads are melting.
Literally in front of them.
People have died in that fire, right? I mean, how many?
Oh, yeah.
11 so far.
Jeez.
And it's like something I heard, and I mentioned it last week. A firefighter who had come in from out west said that this was unlike fighting any fire he'd ever been involved in. That when they fight them out west, they can kind of, build breaks or whatever and get a little breather and figure out, try to guess where it's going to go next. But he said it's not like that in the southeast, that it just goes and goes and goes and goes.
Different fuel source.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of pine. And that stuff, those things go up like, turpentine.
Yeah.
Bob, look
at the ground cover and see how that'll tell you how it's going to travel.
Thanks for bringing that back up.
And if the trees are starting to die,
those pine needles burn like crazy too. You know, it's the thing, the undercover. And pine burns quite hot, if I'm not mistaken.
Do they have any beetle infestations, like a bark beetle?
Oh gosh, yes.
Well, that's been going on for how long, Bob?
Beetle, gypsy moth.
For at least 10 years, we've had the pines have been blighted here. I don't know where it is at, where you're at, Bob, but well, for at least 10 years.
Look at what happened. Just add a little drought. Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah, I mean, I remember finding out years ago because my grandmother had them here, gooseberry bushes, and I just loved eating those gooseberries when I was a little kid and we'd come up here. I tried to get gooseberry bushes when we first came here and found out you cannot order them into West Virginia. Because they carry something, a fungus called white pine blister rot. And what happens is the bird eats the berries, and then the bird goes and roosts in the white pine tree shits, and the fungus gets all over the forest and kills them white pines dead. So no gooseberries for me.
Latest episode of Years of Living Dangerous is outstanding with Austin Monfrey that used to be on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
He goes to Africa.
Is that a movie, Duncan?
No, it's a series.
National Geographic channel.
All right. I'll have to check that out.
But he goes to Africa to check out, and they, the animals there, and the elephants could be all gone within 15 to 20 years. Hippopotamuses could be all gone.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
But again, it goes back to that fact and reality business. This summer, it is now possible to sail from New York or Boston. It is now possible to sail from Boston to Seattle via the North Pole. Okay? Because the ice caps melted. That's a sort of a never-before sort of thing. But try telling a chimpanzee that. Nope. Climate change is a Chinese hoax put together by thousands of scientists who don't even know each other and yet are conspiring together to destroy our manufacturing base.
Well, to a chimpanzee, that's going to be a good thing. You know, we can get from point A to point B faster. You know, what are you bitching about?
And we can drill for oil up there now, except it's not ours.
Yep. Jesus, we're in a hell of a mess. And I hate to be so negative on a Friday. I mean, I tell you what, Bob, one of the most hungover times I've ever been was the election night when you extended your show.
Yeah.
That next morning, I felt like I'd been poisoned because I was just trying to drink away what had just happened.
It just didn't work, did it? It didn't work.
No, it didn't.
I'm sorry. I had you guys because I was eating chips.
Not even pair of the
talk. Drank away what happened. Oh, my God.
And
I sent Bob a message, and I don't know if you remember this or not. I said, Bob, I feel like I've been poisoned.
You have been. It's the whole, not just you, boo-boo. It's the whole fucking country.
Right.
Hey,
right.
By the way, I shared a note from Steve from Vermont earlier, and Steve got kudos from our buddy Reverbo. He said, big props to Steve from Vermont for a well-crafted composition that showed insightful and sadly correct analysis of our political malaise. As a longtime listener and short-time contributor, I appreciate writing like that. You have some intelligent thinkers out there. Got a bunch of them. And here's one. Now, I mentioned the idea of Trump and Biden just bailing out and saying, you know,
you mean Obama.
I mean, Obama and Biden bailing out and saying, you know, adios.
Kiss my happy white and black ass, my mm-hmm. zebra asses.
Yep. Well, I got a note from Steve in China. Subject line, President's packing early bags. Still, we don't want to ruffle their feathers too much or too soon. The move from civil law to fascism is also the move from civil service to police administration. The Chinese police, for example, don't do very much, except actually provide public service. No one is armed because the administrative mechanism is solidly in place. They just march you off to the death sentence when it comes to that. Everybody knows this. Everyone cooperates. It's a great system, long as you don't mind the ominous sense of vague eternal terror that hangs like the visible air pollution over just about everything. It's a matter of behavior modification. Don't get antsy, and the authorities won't start working for a living. Back to the New Order fascism of the present moment. They'd love to have the excuse as soon as possible. The problem is always about doing it under cover of social unrest and public security. Step by step, inch by inch, if the frog does sit quietly boiling, it may still be prone to bouts of froggy thinking. Our illusions of real change, positive citizenship, are clouded by a sense, a wish, for time standing still. It's nice, sometimes, not to always be swimming upstream, fighting these laws of human inertia, even if you're resisting the laws of mankind. Well, like some cultures, the inertia just happens to be the safest place to be. Too much thinking, and just like that, boiled frog. Of course, for the police state thugs, an armed citizenry is always advantageous. For some reason, it allows a handful of well-placed criminal politicians to rule by force and legal farce a free nation of hundreds of millions. Feel the fear. The only remarkable thing is the absurdity of not many more criminals ruling by that same force a nation of more than a billion. Though philosophy and tradition can cover a lot of ideological ground there, let's face it, though, a Congress that seems incapable of doing almost anything for the people it supposedly represents, that's enough to make a dead Chinese dictator spin in his bright red coffin almost forever. especially at such time the citizens are under martial law and the cops have long since decided that they aren't really civilians, just licensed to shoot or drag away kicking and screaming peacekeepers. At that point, the killing is just a bonus. Food for thought. That's a banquet. Yeah.
You should publish his letters to you, Bob.
And Arthur says, yeah, Brother Bob, have you ever met a climate scientist? They're not real. Well, I kind of have. I've had interesting conversations with, you know, face-to-face with James Hansen, who is a real climate scientist. Mm-hmm. But I get the point. So,
well, guys,
No, go ahead, Tracy.
No, I'm going to say, on that happy note, I'm going to go downstairs and hopefully win some money. Because so I can, like I said, if I can hit a couple of at least straight flushes, a full house or two, then I'll be calling on Monday saying, so, what are we short? Mama's going to make it up.
Thanks, Tracy. May the cards be ever with you.
Oh, yes. All right, guys.
Be tonight, ever in guys. Your favor.
Be safe and be well, and we're going to get through this, I swear. And if not, we'll just drink ourselves into a stupor. Good night, y'all.
Night,
Love
Tracy.
Your way, Tracy.
Take care, Tracy.
Good night.
And we are pretty much at a stopping point because I got to go pick up Margie from work. Hellmart.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
One question. You like the new front porch emoticon, the orange jet?
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's very nice. I'd kind of like that to be my front porch.
So would I.
Mine has lawnmowers and a torn up weed eater on it and a gas grill. But yeah, that's very nice. We have $30 to go to finish off Shirley's challenge and $200 beyond that to stay even with the month of December. Hopefully that'll happen over the weekend or something, because getting in a hole this early in the month. That's disturbing. But anyway, thanks, everybody, for a great conversation. Thank you, Tracy and Snork and Steve and Scott and Rick. Thank you, one and all. Thank you, Sparky, as ever, for hosting our little round, extraordinary, ordinary round table. And thanks, everybody, who keeps this program and this network on the air. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff and always, well, thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend. Good night, everybody.